Well, I hope we can now give glory to the Father, Son, and Spirit. I hope you will open God's Word. That's one way that you will, first of all, praise them and glorify them, if you will acknowledge that their Word is truth and that they have preserved it very much just for this moment. And so open Colossians chapter 1 in a Bible, or perhaps on an internet-ready device. You might search for Bible Gateway, CSB. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin to read at verse 24, the verses we studied last week, and I'll read into chapter 2 and to verse 5. So this is God's word for us, for you, for today. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is, the church. I have become its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. For I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For I'm saying this so that no one will deceive you with the arguments that sound reasonable. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now, Heavenly Father, that you would sanctify us by your truth, and grant that the Spirit of truth may guide us into all truth through him who is the truth incarnate, your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I wonder if, as you begin, you caught the idea of mystery there, the way that Paul speaks of a mystery. And I wonder, just take a moment, perhaps next with the people next to you, just ask and share, who is your favorite mystery writer? What is your favorite mystery show, TV or otherwise, drama or play? Take a moment and just discuss for your second those great mystery writers that you're familiar with. Well, I hope you've had a good time to share. Here's one of my favorites. I can put this on the screen, I think. This is the Fenn treasure. I hope you're with us this morning, Fenn. But it's not our Fenn. This is a guy by the name of Forrest Fenn, a decorated Vietnam War pilot from America. Back in 2010, he hid a small box containing treasure, probably worth, some say, as much as $2 million in the Rocky Mountains of America. And then he published this poem in his book, The Thrill of the Chase, and invited people to go and search for it. A real life mystery, a real life treasure hunt. And it was solved earlier this year, back in June. Somebody went, found the treasure, and the Forrest Fenn, who has now passed away, confirmed that the pictures that this person had taken were the real thing. The location was correct. Wow, what a wonderful thing, a real life treasure hunt. But however good that mystery is, however good your mystery writers were, I want to say to you this morning that there is a better mystery. There is a greater mystery to explore. The Fenn treasure lasted 10 years, and then it was found. This mystery has lasted at least 4,000 years. The Fenn treasure had, according to one estimate, 350,000 active searchers. I can't count myself in that. I did read the poem. I did wonder where it was, but I never went to America and the Rockies to go look for it. You know, the mystery that I want to tell you about today has caught everybody's attention. Every single human being. The current population of the world is 7.8 billion people. This mystery is relevant and has impacted on every person who has ever lived, not just those 7.8 billion alive this morning. The Fenn treasure book sold many copies. But the book about the greatest mystery is the all-time world best seller, and even today is being translated into a new language, many new languages, who have yet to read the word in their own tongue. Yes, I am talking to you about the mystery contained in the Bible. What mystery, you say? And that's a good question. The mystery that is anticipated in the Old Testament and then revealed in the New. The Old Testament of the Bible has been compared to the first act of a two-act play. And if all you ever do is see the first act and the curtain goes dark and you get sent home, you feel like you've missed out. You want to know the ending. What happens to the characters? How does the storyline resolve? It is very unfulfilling. But with the second act, it can be glorious. And today's takeaway for you is mystery versus maturity. Which do you want? You see, you can have any number of man-made mysteries concocted by yourself or others, and they will either pale into insignificance and disappear, or one day they'll be solved, like the Fenn treasure. But what about the real mystery that leads to maturity? If you will come with me and with Paul this week, then you will find, as it says here, the greatest mystery ever written leads to the greatest mystery you will ever experience. That's where we're going this morning. Remember last time, Andrew explained to us that Paul's ministry is done in suffering and we will all suffer. The larger our ministry, the larger our suffering. You'll find this theme carries on running through our verses today. It's there twice in 29 and once in 2 verse 1. We're going to continue to look at Paul's ministry and we're going to see how it is about mystery and maturity. So two big thoughts here again for you on the screen. Two big thoughts: Paul's ministry, principle and pattern. I hope I can move my screen on. I'm not sure I can. There seems to be a bit of a battery issue or something. There we go. Is that it? Paul's ministry, principle and pattern. And these things lead us to real wisdom and knowledge, chapter 2 and verse 3, and to maturity, chapter 1 and verse 28. And in truth, I'm going all Puritan on you. I have 7 points. Yet hopefully I'm also going to stay very modern and move through this quite quickly. So there will be something for us to follow up on, work to do afterwards. But that's as it should be. In fact, that's part of what the message is this morning. And so teach the Bereans. So here we go. Paul's ministry principle is mystery revelation. Right at the beginning of verse 26, the verses we pick up on today. Again in verse 27, the glorious wealth of this mystery. Again in chapter 2 and verse 2. I want their hearts to be encouraged. Why? So that they might have complete understanding and all the things that are hidden in verse 3 of chapter 2. But what is this mystery? Rather than detail all the reasons, let me just state that it's clearly not something puzzling or paradoxical. Neither is this a reference to pagan mystery cults that were around at the time and still exist today. This really only fits with the greatest mystery of all, if you will, God's mystery. It's the only real thing that it can be. So we read Paul writing to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 2. We do, however, speak a wisdom amongst the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's wisdom in this mystery. And here, writing to the Colossians, Paul explains that the Jews have always, indeed still are today, expecting a person, a Savior, the Messiah. No timetable, no factual reveal, no buried treasure. A person is coming. And verse 26, the mystery is revealed to his saints, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Paul has already called the Colossians saints, so he is saying this is something that we share. It's your ministry too, he's saying to them. Here is something for you to do as well as something you are. You're saints and you have a ministry because this was revealed to you. Here is an implicit dig at priesthood, the setting apart of men or women to stand between us and God. There's no longer, in Paul's understanding, a priestly caste that's done away with. Well, the New Testament actually looks at it from the other side and says not that it's done away with, but that we are all saints. We are all raised up to a priesthood of all believers. The result, though, is the same. There is no one between us and God. God gives direct access to himself. He has revealed himself to the saints. The mystery is revealed. And I have a question for you this morning. My first question, has he revealed himself to you? Perhaps he is revealing himself to you right now this morning. The greatest mystery has been revealed. Jesus Christ is the one. Can you hear him explaining that to you? Can you hear God the Holy Spirit calling to you and saying, come to Jesus today? Know the greatest mystery ever revealed. Know the truth, the hidden mystery fully revealed in the Word of God. If you need to think about that and talk about that, please get in touch. It would be lovely to talk to you on the telephone, by email, or whatever. It would be great to hear that you are exploring these things. I'd love to go further into that with you. But we must press on. It's not just that. We read in verse 27 that there is glorious wealth. What is this glorious wealth? Wealth. Textually, the emphasis probably falls on the Gentiles. In a very real sense, Paul is saying it's amazing that God includes everyone, not just his chosen people from of old, but now the message is for everybody. But we must be careful, for Paul is casting a very wide net. It's not just the here and the now. It's remarkable that this gospel has come all the way to Colossae, but this mystery, Christ in you, is not just in this moment, it's for eternity. It's not just now all people all over the face of the world, it's over all time. There is a future here promised, a future share with Christ. This mystery, knowing Christ personally, it's gloriously rich. My friends, will you revel in that? Will you revel in the inclusion of all people? Here's true inclusivity. Will you revel in the extent over time over which this is true? whatever you do, don't minimize the glorious wealth of the experience we have in Jesus Christ. And here then in verse 28 is our third point as well. Paul's ministry principle is to present people mature in Christ. His principle is to help people to grow and to change. Now, my friends, this is a painful truth to hear and to study for me in the last couple of weeks. For some have recently resigned their membership and they have cited this in part as their reason. They have desired this maturity, this change, this growth in Christ, and they have not been finding it. They have struggled to find the challenge both in the sermons and from us, from the one another in the congregation. Now, there may be many reasons for this, but the one that matters most for us today is, are we making this our ministry? Is this something we are all doing? Is it our custom and practice to apply the Word of God to our lives together? Is it your practice to sit with your family after a Sunday morning service and discuss the Word and ask how it applies to you today and to pray it home and to practice it in the week to come? If you're living alone or if you're the only Christian in your home, do you meet with someone during the course of the week to enable that? The Word of God shared reveals the mystery that is Christ, and it leads to maturity. Are you part of that happening here at Trinity in this fellowship of God's people? Why not join us tonight on the Zoom fellowship and the discussion and prayer and help us do it then? Why not join in the ladies' Bible study that Claire has begun this past week and apply the Word to your life there? Why not meet one-to-one with somebody? It's what Paul had done to become the minister he was. For he says in verse 29, this is God's strength in me. So it's his strength in me. We cannot do this on our own. Paul is challenging us. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. If we seek to do this in our own strength, we will fail. It's God's style, it's God's power, it's God the Holy Spirit guiding and leading and empowering. Are you seeking his help in doing this? Paul gives us a clue here at the end of the book as to how this would be. Chapter 4 and verse 12, referring to Epaphras, who is one of you, he says, the gentleman we think carried the letter to them and came from them. Indeed, we think he probably took the gospel to Colossae in the first place, because Paul probably didn't travel there himself. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. My friends, it's a ministry that we must undertake with one another, for one another, out of the Word. But are we laboring in prayer as Epaphras was, first for your own soul and indeed for that of your brothers and sisters? This is a vital ministry. It's Paul's principle of ministry, and we need to have it as well. We must move on to our second section. Paul's ministry pattern then is this. It's a pattern, one for us to follow. Here is the beating heart, if you will, of how Paul works. This is the pattern, the style, his way. Three things we're going to read. Out of concern, we warn for joy. So that's where we're going. Verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2 contain a very deep sense of concern. Paul deeply desires that the Colossians, that you and I today, understand and have knowledge of God's mystery. Understanding and have the knowledge of. That's the end of chapter 2, verse 2. A mystery cannot be explained unless it's been revealed. Well, this one has been revealed, and so now it can be understood and explained. Remember where we're going. This big picture is here on the screen for us. The greatest mystery ever written, which is now revealed, leads to the greatest mystery you will ever experience, which is maturity in Christ in glory. Isn't that wonderful? Hold on to that. That's our takeaway for today. The greatest mystery now revealed leads to this greatest maturity, Christ in us in glory. A number of things are repeated and expanded in these verses, but the mystery is stated to be Christ in clear and all-encompassing terms. Wisdom and knowledge are found in him. These words cover the material and the spiritual, and therefore all of life is in view. The phrase joined together that we see here can also be translated instructed, and that is probably better here. The heart, you see, is not just the seat of the emotions. In Paul's language, the heart is our desires and our feelings, our thinking and our believing, our will and our choosing. If you like, affection, cognition, volition, and it's the whole person. Do you want to encourage and instruct others and be so encouraged and instructed yourself? That is what it means to be a part of the church, to help in this ministry, to have this pattern of ministry. Do we do that? Do we receive it because we want to be mature and want others to be mature? Are we understanding the mystery that is Christ? These are big questions. Do you have that concern for others? Paul's pattern then is out of concern for others, he warns. We must warn. Verse 4, let no one deceive you. No one will deceive you. That's why I'm doing this. Oh, how the world tempts us to say nothing, to leave well alone, to keep our noses out. The individual is allowed to make up their own mind. We are free to choose our own way. No. We're not fit to choose without the help of God, the Holy Spirit. And any man-made standard is utterly devoid of merit when held up against Scripture and God's holiness. Out of concern for others, we must warn them. And we need to hear the warning when others share it with us. And we must look to ourselves, although quite frankly, I find it harder, and I'm sure you do, to see my own errors. I see my own sins in the mirror of other people. I struggle to look at myself and really get it right. But when I see my children copying me, and when I think of the friends I surround myself with, and then I see. My friends, the world's arguments sound so reasonable, but they are not. We need to hear the warnings of one another. We need to measure the world's ideas against Christ and be warned of the dangers. And finally, before it gets too dark, we do all of this for joy. Finally, Paul and we should, out of concern, warn one another so that we might rejoice. It's not to knock people down. It's not to make life difficult. It's not to take all the joy and the fun out of it. Verse 5, with you in spirit rejoicing. If we have true biblical concern for others, and if we warn them graciously in love, we will have joy. And they will have joy. No other motivation will suffice, and so we need to be careful that this is indeed our motivation. For others, joy in the Lord. Sadly, too often, those who have sought to do this and encourage the church to do it have been accused of spoiling and tearing down, but nothing could be further from the truth. This past week, one such minister of the word went home to glory, and many have given thanks for his life's work. He never set out to publish a book, but 50 years ago, he published a game-changing, groundbreaking defense of these biblical truths, that the scriptures are sufficient for our need. And he went on to publish many more. Verse 14 of Romans 15, I think, is a challenge to us and one that was key to him. My brothers and sisters, I myself am convinced about you that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. There's the encouragement on the flip side. There's the wonder of this, that we are the church. He went on to publish 100 more books, founded journals, professional bodies and seminary courses, and a number of us have studied with him or those who have learnt from him. The question is, will you follow? Will you seek the joy in your life and the lives of others, whatever the cost? My friend, some will hate you for it, some will walk away. But we need to be motivated by concern for others and for their joy, and then to warn them, and we'll see that joy. Will you follow the pattern of those who've gone before? Will you follow Paul and the Lord Jesus and so many others who encourage us to explore the greatest mystery ever written, which is now revealed? And it leads to the greatest mystery you will ever experience, maturity in Christ in glory. You have to start today, perhaps, by sitting down with someone and putting these principles and patterns into practice, and then you can share it with us this evening at the fellowship time or in the week to come. Can you do that? Can you be a part of this ministry of growth in the life of the church, putting these principles and patterns of Paul's ministry into work in our church? Let's pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, we thank you for our brother Paul, who shows us the way. We thank you for the way in which he helps us to grow, the way he longed for the Colossians to grow. We thank you for the challenge and ask that you would help us to follow in his footsteps. We pray, our Father, that we would accept this is a ministry for all of us, the saints, those you have called. We pray that we would never minimize it, but would glory in the wealth of this ministry that you have given. We pray we would be motivated to present people mature, and we would take part as you give us strength to do. Let us trust in your strength, not our own. Give us Paul's pattern as well, our Father, that we do all out of a sense of concern for others, not out of any looking down or looking up. But we pray we would be concerned that others would be mature and that we would warn them biblically, graciously. And we pray, Father, above all else, we would know the joy of this growth amongst your people. Would you please bless us with an understanding of your mystery, the revelation that is Christ, and would you help us to see how it leads to maturity, and would you help us to hope for glory? We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.